I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our God reigns.
Amen.
And the children that you saw here, standing here, are candidates to stand on the sea of glass.
Amen.
And wave their branches and cast their crowns at his feet. So when I said hallelujah, I caught a vision of what our children can be, will be in the kingdom of God with Jesus. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, love that. You are a father to us. Oh, how we love you. If I have to lean to the right, you are there. If I have to bend forward, you are there. If I have to go to the right, you are there. David said, when I sit, when I rise, when I lay down, you are there and you know my thoughts and you know my steps. So, Father, today we ask that you would take us on that journey on this children's Sabbath day. In Jesus' name we say, with great heartfelt love, gratitude, attitude, and great, 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 great thanks. Amen. It's been a wild week, folk. There were some days I literally had to get on my knees and say, Lord Jesus, give me strength. These children are wearing me out. We spent 3 days in Africa, and then we spent 3 days under the sea with the dolphins and octopi and sea stars and other things. And here we are on the Sabbath. I'm amazed I got up, folks. I mean, the angels had to lift me out of bed this morning. Hallelujah. As I kind of, they kind of shoved me into the shower because my body was on, it's over, I'm tired, Lord, but I'll open my mouth wide if you fill it. And so I felt the nudge of the angels pushing me in that shower. And, you know, when the water came down, I felt a little better. I was like getting soothed. And then I had to put the coal on, and that was my wake-up call. And so with that, hallelujah, we are ready. Let me redirect your attention to the scripture for a moment, to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Starting there, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I love Jesus. See, Jesus could have given them a sermon. He could have told them about what it means to be a great leader and all of this. But Jesus is visual. I can relate to Jesus. I'm visual. If my wife says something to me, I will tell her, please write it down. You know what I'm saying? Don't say go to the store and get bread. I'll get to the store and go. There are a lot of... You understand what I'm saying? Jesus was visual. And in this story here, you'll see it. Then Jesus called a little child. By the way, the title of the sermon is A Little Child Shall Lead Them. I've got to tell you this. This is a little thing. We were doing Vacation Bible School. Come here, James. Perfect timing. I'm going to tell you about the Holy Spirit, people. This is perfect timing because I was going to tell you about this kid, James. And he comes right down the steps. Somebody need to say amen. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. Hello. All right, so we're doing Vacation Bible School, and James runs up to me. Remember that? He had it in his name tag, and it said James on it. The next thing I know, James runs up to me, bits me in the chest, and the next thing I know, I'm looking at, and there's James on my chest. He gave me his name tag, and I understood that as a sign of friendship. I understood it as a sign of affection. Fist bump. Yeah. And so these disciples, these big grown-up disciples, wanted to know who's going to be great in the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus called a little child to him. He set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I'm not guessing here. I'm not thinking about it here. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." He wasn't talking to the little child in the midst. He was talking to the disciples, the sent out ones. He was talking to the big people. He was talking to the grown up people. "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, as children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself," it's kind of hard to humble yourself. But Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this, like James, in my name, receives me." Then he goes on, verse 6. "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were placed around his..." These are hard words Jesus is saying here, but let's look at it. "It would be better for him..." I'm going to segue in there, "her, to have a millstone around his, her neck and be thrown in the sea and drown." Jesus is saying, children are precious. My children are precious to me. And if you're going to hurt them, mess with them, offend them, it is better that you drown in the sea and be gone than to hurt a child. Jesus said that. I'm going to take you on a little journey here. You see, in Testimonies, Volume 6, page 196, the prophetess of this church said this: "Altogether, too little attention has been given to our children and youth." You see, children are not taken seriously in the church. See, they don't pay tithe. You know, children are not involved in planning. Programs and meetings for children in the church are viewed as babysitting instead of soul saving. We spend thousands of dollars going around the world. We spend money to evangelize and baptize adults when every Sabbath in the lower divisions there are children incubating who will become candidates of the kingdom. Jesus loves children. In essence, we as a church are saying to the children in our midst, stay out of the way until you're grown. Then we can use your services and your money, economic power. But the sad fact is, by the time they're grown, they are gone. Can I be real in this house today? Yeah, who will be? That's the Holy Ghost. Here's Jesus' view of children, folk. This is coming from the book, The Czar of Ages, page 44 and 46. I brought my book so nobody would think that I'm saying this stuff. All right? I didn't write this. God had Ellen write this. I'm just repeating back to you and reflecting to you what was said. Czar of Ages, page 44, 46. In his teachings, he came down to their level. Can you see Jesus sitting on the curb with a little kid kicking it back and forth, and the little child is sitting there and leaning on Jesus and talking to Jesus? He came down to their level. Adults, if you ever want to win a child of God, you've got to come down to the child's level. You might have to put some crayons in your hands. You might have to put some finger paint on your fingers and play along with the children. Did you know that Ellen White loved to play sandlot baseball with the children in her area? Ah. It is still true that children, watch this. It is still true that children are the most susceptible to the teachings of the gospel. Whoa. Never give them cause to feel that heaven will not be a pleasant place to them if you are there. I didn't write this. This isn't Czar of Ages, people. When Jesus told the disciples not to forbid the children to come to him, he was speaking to his followers in all ages, to officers of the church, to ministers, to helpers, and to all Christians. They will come if you do not hinder them by your coldness and your harshness. Jesus' view of children. This is the book Child Evangelism, pages 579, 584. They are heirs of his kingdom. He answered their questions. He planted seeds of truth. Jesus is drawing the children, and they will come. Have them joyously accept him. Make sure the religious experience of children is happy and fun. Child evangelism, hello. He wants them, while they are children, to give him their hearts. He is calling and loving the worst kids. I'm going to say that again. See, because, you know, oh, we'll take the pretty, we'll take the cute children. Oh, she's so cute. Ain't he adorable? But to the children that match that, you know, we kind of to the side because they're too bad and I can't handle it. No, I don't want them. I wish they didn't even come. Jesus is calling even the worst of kids. Teach them how to read and appreciate the Bible. Point them to the Lamb of God. Love must break down the barriers. Make kids happy. Evangelism, page 579, 584. Take them on nature walks. It calms the behavior. I don't know what to do with this child. This child is driving me crazy. Sit down. Shut up. Go to your room. Take that child out and let that child see a flower. Take that child out and let that child touch a butterfly's wing. Take that child out and skip rocks across the lake. Take that child out and let him pick up a snail. Take the child out in God's second book of nature. I've been to Sabbath schools in various geographical places, and all I heard during that Sabbath school time was, sit down, be still, shut up, do your lesson. I wanted to jump in there and say, well, hallelujah. Sound, act, teach positively with enthusiasm. Love wins children to Jesus. The time to convert a person is in his or her childhood. Children should make their own decisions for Christ early. How much more is a soul worth with a lifetime before it than with the end of life's journey already in sight? Yes, in the realm of souls, lambs are more worth to God's cause than sheep. So often we are prone to reverse the order and convert the grandparents and the parents, fondly hoping that they will bring the children. But in teaching the children, it must be here a little, there a little, otherwise not much will be gained. If earnest, consecrated efforts are put forward to instruct and win children, many of them and their parents and friends will be won to the kingdom of God. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 400. Children of 8, 10, or 12 years are old enough to be addressed on the subject of personal religion. Need I say that again? Children of 8, 10, or 12 years are old enough to be addressed on the subject of personal religion. If properly instructed, very young children may have correct views of the state as sinners and the way of salvation through Christ. Smiles and giggles, paste and glue, cookies and milk, and crayons too, cotton soft clouds of white and sunshine bright, butterfly wings, hugs and a kiss. These are the things we adults miss. I told somebody the other day, I'm not going to let the child in me die. Why would I want to grow up miserable? Man assigns numbers, but God is the one who gives life, and that life more abundantly. Don't tell me I act like a child. You're just jealous. If you think I'm going to sit there with my face all screwed up on Sabbath, all stoic, get over it. And, you know, some people come to church, if the angels had, cards and stuff, some people come to church all sad, grumpy, moaning, groaning, all got their face all frowned up, and I guarantee you the angels would stand and go, 1, 5, 1, 0, 0. Forget it. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is that this afternoon is that a child, precious in its scope, is a kid, is an heir to the kingdom of God. Yes. That when Jesus saw you, see, I love that part in David where he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Before I came out of the womb, you knew me. You knew my name before I was born. Before my mother's egg and my father's sperm, I was on your drawing table, God, in 3D virtual reality. You knew my name. And you let me come into the world. And you searched for me and you found me. And now I can stand and give praises and glory to you. I'm a child of the King. Amen. You see, God uses children, saints. Yes. I brought my great controversy. I would like to share a line or two with you, please. In Scandinavia, also the Adventist message was proclaimed and a widespread interest was kindled. Many were roused from their careless security to confess and forsake their sins. But the clergy of the state church opposed the movement, and through their influence, some who preached the message were thrown into prison in many places where the preachers of the Lord's soon coming were silent. God was pleased to send messages and his message in a miraculous manner through little children. As they were underage, the law of the state could not restrain them, and they were permitted to speak unmolested. The movement was chiefly among the lower class. And it was in humble dwellings that the laborers of the people that could come and hear the warning. The child preachers themselves were mostly poor cottagers. These children would be like any other child. They'd be sitting there playing and talking, but all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit would come on these children, and they would drop their toys, and they would put down their storybooks, and the Holy Spirit began to give them utterance. It was God's will that the tidings of the Savior's coming should be given in Scandinavian countries. Then the voices of his servants were silent, he put his spirit upon the children that the work might be accomplished. When Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, attended by the rejoicing multitudes that came with shouts of triumph and waving of palm branches, hurled at him as the Son of David, the jealous Pharisees called upon him to silence them. But the children in the temple courts afterward took up the refrain, and waving their branches of palms, they cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David." When the Pharisees, sorely displeased, said unto him, "Here is what these say." Jesus answered, "Yea, have ye not read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" A little child can get you to the kingdom by their simple little words and expressions. I watch little children sit and sing, "Jesus loves me." I've seen them sit there so innocent, knowing that their father Jesus is beside them. Amen. When Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, attended by the rejoicing of multitudes, with shouts of triumph and waving of palm branches, hurled him as Son of David, the jealous Pharisees called upon him to silence them. My last reading to you, and if you have not paid attention to anything I've said, you will to this.
We just studied this in the Sabbath school lesson a couple of weeks ago. The second cleansing of the temple. Watch this. When Jesus drove out the money changers and all of that, the poor people started coming into the courts. And Jesus started healing them in the courts. And the Pharisees and scribes slowly came back to see what Jesus was doing. Tables overturned, animals gone, birds gone, money on the floor. They see healing taking place. The church is a place for healing. Hello? No matter what condition a person is in, the church is for healing. Jesus came and sought out those that needed healing. But watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. The Pharisees and scribes saw the sick healed and the blind restored to sight. And the deaf received their hearing. And the crippled leaped for joy in the temple. Ah, but my friends, check this out. The children were foremost in rejoicing. Jesus had healed their maladies, their sicknesses. He had clasped them in his arms, received their kisses of grateful affection. And some of them had fallen asleep on his breast as he was teaching the people. Now with glad voices, children sounded his praise. They repeated the hosannas of the day before and waved palm branches triumphantly before the Savior. The temple echoed and re-echoed their acclamations. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Hosanna to the Son of David. Now open your ears. The sound of these happy, unrestrained voices. I didn't write this, folk. Your prophetess did. The sound of these happy, unrestrained voices was an offense to the rulers of the temple. Hello. Hello. I didn't write it. It's in the book. Check this out. Oh, I love this part. The sound of these happy, unrestrained voices was an offense to the rulers of the temple. They set about putting a stop to such demonstrations. There might be somebody in here today who didn't think the kids should be up here singing and moving. But Jesus, I said, Jesus. The sound of these happy, unrestrained voices was an offense to the rulers of the temple. They set about putting a stop to such demonstrations. They represented to the people that the house of God was desecrated by the feet of the children and the shouts of rejoicing. Finding their words made no impression on the people, the rulers appealed to Christ. Here is what these say. And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you not read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast... Children's Sabbath day. Every Sabbath should be children's Sabbath day. For children and for the big children. Don't let the Pharisees drive you out of your praise. See, that's what I like about little children. They don't let anybody stop their praise. They just praise on anyhow. We are so, so self-conscious. I'm afraid to put my hand up because somebody would see me. I don't care. Because if I'm praising God, who is bigger than God? Sister so-and-so does not have a heaven or hell to put me in. But the little children with loud, unrestrained voices were praising Jesus, and he accepted it. And if it's good enough for Jesus Christ, it's good enough for me. So when you see these children in cradle roll and Sabbath school, when you see them singing, go in and sing with them. You might get converted and become like a little child. Oh, thank you. See, I have to give this and I'm closing. Children's ministries is a calling. Just like evangelism is a calling. My wife and I have been all over creation. I had left Oakwood University, and we were in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Have anybody heard of Tuscaloosa, Alabama? Thank you. And we would be in the supermarket, and all of a sudden, children would start following us. And they would come up. We're putting groceries in the cart. And they would come up and kind of get next to my wife. They would touch her hands. We're like, what's going on? And then one little girl came all the way around one aisle and looked at my wife and said, "Are you Wonder Woman?" Oh. And then my mom said, "Yeah, she's a wonder." hallelujah. I remember being in other geographical places, and the same thing happened. I was overseas, and I went to a bank to cash my check, which was in European dollars, into American dollars because I was flying out. And I was sitting there on the bench like this, waiting my turn. And this little kid was over there sucking on a lollipop. And I noticed that the little kid sucking on a lollipop started moving in my direction. And as I was sitting there waiting to hear my number called, this little kid came over to me and said, "Would you like some of my lollipop?" And being the gracious soul that I am, I said, "Oh, that's so kind of you. Thank you. But it's your lollipop, so it's okay." Over and over again, those kinds of things were repeated. It became very clear to us what God was saying to us and what ministry would be like. Yes, I can preach in churches and all of that. But if we can get children to see him in his glory, if we can get children to have the Holy Spirit fall on them and go into the community and preach the socks off the people listening, because those Scandinavian children preached, "This is the day of God's judgment. Fear God." And people trembled in their boots. And the town got converted. Ah, children's Sabbath day. It's not just once, because children are every day. Amen. Throw your arms around them. Love them to Jesus. He is calling them. Amen. They're all precious. They have different personalities. Lord knows, at VBS, I saw different personalities. I'm like, "Lord, I need help, Jesus." But kind words, attentive care, and we become a family. Amen. And that's how it's going to be in the kingdom, folks. The little child is going to go skipping through those gates. What about you? You see, children and women in the Bible days were looked upon as scum. They had no rights, no privileges. Jesus came along and changed that. Jesus came along and said, oh no, if you want to be great in my kingdom, get off your high horse and become like a little child. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you're going to have to sing like a little child. You're going to have to be disciplined like a little child, innocent like a little child, humble like a little child. You're going to have to be loving and kind if you expect to get into the kingdom, for such is the kingdom. I envision the kingdom, one big, great pre-care school. I envision, you know, we come in and Jesus is like, boys and girls, you want to color today? I got to take you to the universe. I want to show you Orion. I got a black hole I want to show you. Boys and girls in the preschool kingdom today, we're going to look at animals and we're going to have fun. Adult, do not lose the child in you. Whatever you do, do not lose the child in you. Do not sacrifice the child in you. Do not let other people tell you how to live your life and take away your child. Because it is that child in you that will respond to the Jesus. The Jesus in you. A little child shall lead them. You know, I'm so many years old. There's an ice skating rink in Silver Spring. And I was out there skating my heart out, jumping and spinning. And people were like standing around the restaurant area. They go, go on, my brother. You know, they were looking down. I get home, and my son calls up, who's 30. Honey, how old's the boy? How old is he? 34? Yeah, the 34-year-old calls up and says, Dad, what were you doing today? I said, oh, Mike, I was at the skating rink. Man, I was spinning. I did a jump. I was sliding on the ice. And he said, Dad, you still can do that? I said, shut your mouth. I said, not only can I spin and glide and jump, brother, but I can do it better than you. It's not about age, people. It's a number. Somebody said you gotta be like this. You don't have to be like anything, but be like Jesus. And when you are like Jesus, it's okay. I still get excited about water. I know it's hydrogen, two parts oxygen. I can be deep. But I still get excited because it's wet. I stand up and look at the sky and see the constellations, and I go, ooh, ooh. As I was telling the kids yesterday, scuba, super cool underwater Bible expedition, adventure, that I put on my mask, and I go down over shipwrecks, and I love looking at the shipwrecks underground. Are you playing? Been to vacation Bible school, a Holy Spirit and resurrected me, plays. And I told those guys, I said, yeah, you put your mask on and you just float. I told them about swimming with barracuda and barracuda swimming in front of me and how safe and awesome it is. I love being a little kid. Because my father holds me. Woo! When I hurt myself, my heavenly father says, come here, baby. Come here, come here. Where did it hurt? And he wraps his arms around me. And he lets me know that I'm his. And when I see birds, I go, pretty. And I'm amazed at how they just, I get jealous because I want to circle on the updraft. I want to fly. And Jesus, my daddy, says, hang in there, you will. Oh, hallelujah. You've got to become like a little child to experience his love, to experience his grace, to experience all that he has for you. Today, if you want to be a little child, just put your hands up. I don't care if you're 35, 65, whatever that is. I don't care if you're 80, 90, it doesn't make a difference. The child in you will respond to your daddy in heaven. Oh, daddy, daddy, daddy. One of the greatest pictures for me is when I see fathers with their children and they pick them up and put them up on their shoulder. And they're walking along, the little kids like all up in their little thing, you know. I go, Daddy, that's what I need you to do. I need you to pick me up. I need you to hold me. I need you to rub my back and tickle my ears. What I'm saying is that all of you are God's children. You might be in Florsheim shoes, Pierre Cardin shirts, which is still his little children. Because you know in the night season, when the shoes are off and the shirt is off and the cufflinks are out, you cry out, Daddy! Daddy, I need you! And he responds to you as his child. Oh, people, stand to your feet. Children, stand to your feet. There might be somebody here today who has felt all alone on this planet. Maybe you're single and not married. Hey, maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you just don't feel all together. Jesus will be your father, your daddy. I can go boldly into the throne crying, Abba, Daddy. If there's somebody here today and you want Jesus to be your daddy, just come on down front. You want Jesus to be your daddy. You could be 50, 60, it doesn't matter. You can be 10 years old and you want Jesus. Is there anybody? Just come where you are. Come on, come on. Praise God. Yeah, little people, a little child shall lead them. Anybody here? You want to be new. See, Jesus makes all things new. Old habits go. Preoccupation with negativity, depression, gone in Jesus Christ. If any man, woman, boy, girl are in Jesus Christ, they are a new creation, and all the old is gone. Because my daddy in heaven is making all things new and making me new. And we'll make you new. Is there anybody else? Just come where you are. Come. Your daddy is waiting for you.